And your daughter in law picks her place up so huge. You know, it's just so darling.
That's true. Boy. And the children and they're in the adjacent.
Well, that's where her sister stays.
Oh.
So she has kind of some privacy, you know.
But in our bulletin this morning, if I can find it, there it is. You received a flyer about the Stop Hunger Now campaign. For many of you, we did this a couple of years ago, and in a little over 3 hours, we packaged 20,000 meals. The meals are self-contained. You simply add some water to it, and it's enough to feed a family of four. And it's a minimal cost. These meals are the program is called Stop Hunger Now, and we're going to again attempt to not package as many as we did last time, but maybe only package about 10,000 meals. And we're going to do that on Saturday, October 17th. So two Saturdays for now. So take this flyer home, put it on your refrigerator, or give it to your neighbor to put it on his refrigerator or her refrigerator. The meals go to feed really anyone in the world that's in need. I can't imagine that not a lot of the meals will be going over to the Bahamas after the hurricane that's went through there. They taste great. They taste sort of like chicken soup, chicken noodle soup. Many of us tasted them. On Saturday, we're going to have a light, we're going to package the meals at 10 a.m. and then around 12, we're going to have a light sandwich lunch. And then our charge conference is also that day. So if you'd like to stay for that, that would be very welcome to stay as well. I thought it was interesting that today's anthem, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit moves. Today's anthem is called Joining Hands. And the last line in the anthem says, reaching out to someone with the hope that's fresh and new, helping those in need God's love to know. Helping those in need, and we are joining hands. And that's what we're doing with the Stop Hunger Now campaign, is we are the hands and feet of Christ. And when we come together, like we did a couple of years ago, the Holy Spirit is definitely there. I can tell you that everyone in the room felt that the Holy Spirit was there, and we all worked together. So please join us on October 17th at 10 a.m. Come out. It doesn't matter whether you have a handicap, whether you're too young, too old, there's a place for everyone. If you need to sit down, we'll give you a chair. If you need to stand up, you can stand. We'll take the chair away. But yeah, there's something for everybody, so please don't think that you're not welcome. Everyone is welcome. And we'll see you on October 17th. Thank you.
And as Bob said, it is a lot of fun, and everybody has a role in it. So we'd like to see all of you. Today is also World Communion Sunday. We will be celebrating Holy Communion with Christian brothers and sisters around the world. So with that in your mindset, let us prepare our hearts now for worship.
Thank you.
this is my Father's will.
Thank you. Because they got to have some fun and
worship committee too. They got to get those balloons up in the air, right? So it's good to have you guys come up because they like the children's time probably more so than the sermon time, I'm sure. But we are all the community of Christ, and remember that you guys are just as important in the community of Christ. Let's say a prayer, okay? Dear God, we thank you for all these people that are gathered here because we are one big community, and sometimes we even call a big family. And for that, we give you thanks. Help us to be better at being your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can have the balloons. Do you guys leave? Okay, go for it. What God might have to say to us. We have some prayer concerns this morning. Larry was struck by a garbage truck in Delray, and he is in the medical center for surgery and treatment. Carl is recovering from heart valve replacement in Bethesda Heart Institute, and I believe he's the father of Maria. Peter has health concerns. Richard is in hospice care. Health concerns and spiritual strength. Tom being placed into a nursing facility. We have the prayer for the families of the people killed in Oregon and prayer for the hurricane victims. Prayer for Roland, Emma's brother. Prayer for Judy's brother, Jim, who's going on dialysis. Kevin, a joy for Claire taking the first steps. For Marie, Vicky is a sister of Rocky, was just diagnosed with breast cancer. Chuck, who fell in the shower, feeling unsteady. God hears those prayers that are spoken. God hears the prayers that are in our hearts. Let us take time now to turn to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, it is a joy to be able to come to you this morning and knowing that people around the world are coming together to sit at your table, to celebrate together, to be united by Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blessings you have given us. We thank you for the unconditional love. And we sing our praises to you this day. We offer our hearts and our love to you. And God, you heard some prayer concerns this morning. We ask for your healing touch upon them. We know that all we need to do is ask, and you are there. And sometimes, God, we come in here and we feel your presence and know that you are present and know that you love us. And we walk outside into the world and we hear such horrible things that are happening. Help us to hold on to the hope that Jesus Christ gives us. That in this world we can be your people. That somehow we can bring peace. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus, touching people, bringing people to Christ. We hear the senseless killings that go on, like those
so looking ahead, God. There's people that hurt in the world and they do these things and we sometimes just can't fathom it. But we never know what our little act of kindness may do for someone. So remind us that every little bit that we can bring into this world, that your love will multiply. We thank you for hearing our prayers, and we bring our prayers together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is our Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is taken from Genesis. It's part of the second story in Genesis, chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, and then 18 to 25. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant in the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." This is the reading of our Holy Scripture. Marvin tells a story of his first date. Now, Marvin was in high school, and he was a bit shy. So, at the time, he wasn't really sure how to go about getting a date. So, his friend said to him, "I've got a perfect answer for you. My cousin Doris, she's beautiful. You'll love her, you know, you'll think she's wonderful, and, you know, you can go on a date with her, I'll fix you up." Marvin thought about it and thought, he doesn't know anybody named Doris. I'm a little worried, you know, going on a blind date. And that's what he said to his friend. "I'm not really sure I'm comfortable going on a blind date." And his friend said, "No worries at all. This is what you do. You go up to the door, ring the doorbell. When she comes to the door, if she's beautiful, then all's fine. You go on your date. If she comes to the door and you don't like what you see, you fake an asthma attack. I can't breathe, I'm sorry, I can't cancel the date." He thought about it and thought, "Okay, I guess I might as well try." So that Saturday they arranged for the date, and he went up to the door. He rang the doorbell. Right away, Doris answered the door, and there she stood. She was beautiful. I mean, she was just as beautiful as could be, and Marvin was kind of awestruck. He just kind of stood there, like, "Wow." And next thing we know, Doris looks at him and goes, "Hey!" What I'd like to talk today about is relationships and how important relationships are in our community. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our heart be found acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. In the first creation story in Genesis 1, there were six different occasions that God made the comment that what God had created was good. In other words, he made these each day. At the end of the day, he said, "And it was good." Well, when God had completed every single day, all 7 days, God stepped back and looked at it and said it was very good. But then in Genesis 2, we have
Imagine, Adam must have been, everything must have been perfect for Adam. He had a beautiful environment in the Garden of Eden, right? He could have all that he wanted there. There was no pollution, there was no traffic jams, there was no diseases. His mind was not corrupt, his heart was pure. But what wasn't good about that perfect place? He seemed to have everything he needed. He had access to everything that he wanted. He had no bills. There was no IRS. There was no budgets, no meetings, no retirement funds. Everything that God had created was his. Well, what wasn't good about it? God put him in charge of everything. He had dominion over all of creation. No worries. What wasn't good? Adam had everything that most of us would think is important. Yet, if something didn't change, God knew that Adam would not be fulfilled. Something was amiss, and it had to be rectified. For you see, Adam was alone. He had everything you think you could possibly want, but he was alone. So God created relationships. And there's two kinds of relationships when you think about it in this world. You have, first of all, the vertical relationship. Think about when you were a child. You were little, and you were always looking up. Well, okay, we all start out short. Some of us, you and me both, darling, kind of stay on that side, and we're always having to look up, right? Well, you have that relationship of up and down. But what I'm talking about when we say that is about the men and the women of faith, the Ish and the Isha. There's a vertical relationship that we never outgrow. Both Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 make it clear that humans were part of this creative process that was initiated by the Creator, by God of the universe. And so there's this creative, caring power that stands above and beyond us. That's why when you think about the posture of prayer, you think about it as on our knees. We're bowing down to remind us that we are small. That we are small when it comes to the greatness and the vastness and the all-powerful and the all-loving God that is before us. We are the children before God. Well, in Genesis 2, we learn, too, that not only are the relationships vertical, but they're also horizontal. A small child came home from Sunday school one day and told his mother, guess what? The teacher told us all about how God made the first man and the first woman. And she was all excited, wanted to hear what he learned in Sunday school and everything. And he said, well, he made man first. But the man was very lonely, so he had no one to talk to. So God put the man to sleep, took out the man's brain, and made a woman. I'm just kidding, okay? But God created a partner for Adam, and this partner was a woman. And I believe this passage is really about our need for relationships. What's the saying that man cannot live by bread alone? Well, this creation story is telling us that we need relationships. If we look at that vertical relationship and we look at that horizontal relationship, what do we have? We have a cross, don't we? We have a cross. And remember that Jesus was on that cross as that ultimate gift to put us in right relationship with God. Through Jesus, we are in relationship with God, and we are in relationship with others, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with our neighbors, even with those we may consider our enemies. We are in relationship. Well, in light of today being World Communion, I find it beautiful that our story is about relationships. It's about communion with one another and with God, and it's about community. What's it called when we have a bunch of people together? The definition of a group helping each other? A community.
together to help each other. We are that community of God's children, not only here today in this place, but around the world. We're in communion today with Christians that are across the world from us. We're in communion with today with Christians who are next door to us. For you see, I need you in community, and you need each other in community. We, along with Christ followers all around the world, celebrate our communion in Jesus Christ. Bob said this morning that there's a Stop Hunger Now campaign. Isn't that what it's all about, my friends? That we accept that love that God gives us so generously, that we accept that love that God gives us through Jesus Christ, and we have that so much love in us that it boils over, that we can share that with others.
Amen.
That we can work at stopping hunger. The words of community that I'd like to share with you are, in Hebrew, the word is kehila. In Thai, the word is sung. These are all for community. In Greek, the word is koinonia. And in South African language, it is Ubuntu. And basically that means, I am what I am because of who we all are.
Amen.
I am a Christian. We are all Christians. And we are all Christians because of the love of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the love that you give us and how you show us that love through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege and honor of being able to be here today with your community of brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this meal that you have prepared for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Christ our Lord invites to his people all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, would you join me in confessing our sin before God and one another?
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us with joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to
his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today, his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He offered it, blessed it, gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink. This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you remember." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all those who have gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people, to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one in Christ, one with each other, and one in mystery to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence of children, we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
These are the gifts of God prepared for the people of God. Come to our open table, for all are invited and all is prepared. Could we have our helpers up front, please? Thank you. Spirit, to give ourselves for others, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you are able, would you please stand and sing? I sing the Almighty Power of God, number 152.
I bought another 113,000. 0.0095.